service. There'll be a choir practice for the Advent choir downstairs. So please, if you have any inclination towards singing, please join them downstairs. I know Reverend Adams would really appreciate it. And there were other announcements up top, but my memory's not that great. Anyhow, the Presbyterian sharing, we're getting closer to our goal, so please keep that in mind. And also the fund script, you can get the gift cards until December 11th. Oh yes, next Sunday is Communion Sunday, so if you're worshiping from home and you need a communion cup, please be in touch with the church here and arrangements will be made. We light this candle to remind us that Christ is the light of the world. And indeed, the light of the world is here worshiping with us today. Please stand for the call to worship, and it's a responsive call to worship. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors many times in various ways through the prophets.
But in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son, through whom He created the world.
He is the one God has appointed, heir of all things.
He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact likeness of God's own being.
He sustains all things by His powerful word.
When He had made purification for the sins of all, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
He was made greater than the angels, just as the name of God, just as the name God gave Him is greater than theirs.
To Him and to God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, belong all our worship and praise.
Let us worship our majestic God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank You for all Your mercies. We thank You for raising Jesus and for making Him Lord of all. We thank You for how You forgive us and continue to transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We praise You and adore You for the living and holy reality of Your presence in our lives. We worship You today because of all that You have revealed to us in and through Jesus Christ, and pray most fervently that You would help us to know the blessing of a closer walk with You. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 267. It'll be on the screen, and it's Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Oh,
you're wondering why I sit during certain parts where you're standing, is my back won't take standing for too long. So I'm trying to save it for other parts of the service. Anyhow, let us join together in a prayer of confession as put up on the screen in unison. Let us pray. We confess, O God, the many ways our lives are not under Christ's rule. Forgive us for the ways we try to control others rather than offering them to you. Forgive us for the ways we want this church to meet our needs rather than working to touch the lives of others. Forgive us for the times we have left our faith at the church doors rather than carrying it into our homes and workplaces and communities. Thank you for a new start every day. May we be open to your renewing love. All this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, our glorious King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us give power to the reign of love that belongs to Jesus Christ. Let us believe that this Christ can forgive us with grace, so real and true that it is life-changing for us. Yes, my friends, we are forgiven. Thanks and praise be to God. I see we have some young people in here. You can either sit up front or you can sit with your parents. It's up to you. Just have a seat up. I'll be talking to you from here because of the cameras and that, but... Anyhow, how are you this morning? Yeah. Anyone know what this is? Well, it's a toy shop catalog. I got that in the mail maybe a couple of weeks ago. Just a few days ago, I got one from, one's from Walmart. I got one from Canadian Tire. When I was young, and probably when most people here were young, or younger, we used to have what they call a Christmas wish book. It was from Sears, and everyone loved going through it. And the reason why is we'd sit down, we're waiting for Christmas. Christmas isn't that far away. The snow is out there now, and it feels a bit more Christmassy, right? Yes. And so we'd let our imaginations run wild. We'd imagine what we do with this toy and that toy and that toy and that toy. And we went on and on. Do you think about the toys you're going to get and the presents you're going to get? Oh, yes. And, yes, we also think about the other great gift we get at Christmas. And the other great gift is the baby Jesus. We get him at Christmas. But, you know, there's more to Jesus than being a baby in a manger. Imagine a place where there's no more pain, where there's no more heartbreak, where there's no more sickness, no more death even. Do you know what that place is? Heaven, that's right. Just imagine going up to heaven and there sitting on his throne is Jesus, our King, waiting to welcome us. We should always remember, no matter what happens, Jesus is our King, Jesus loves us, and Jesus will take care of us throughout this life and the life afterwards. Does that sound good? Good. Thank you. You can... Let us pray. Loving God, open our ears that we may hear the voices of truth you send clearly, And while the notes fall on her ears, everything false will disappear. We wait to see your will for us, O God. Send your Spirit to illuminate us that we may comprehend the lessons you have for us. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away. And you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall no longer fear or be dismayed, or shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The responsive readings are taken from the Old Testament, Psalm 46, and are on our screen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God,
the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns.
Nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our next reading is from the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 20. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And the next reading, also from the New Testament, Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
And now our hymn, as requested by Reverend Adams, because he wants us to learn this new hymn, is hymn 782, "Isaiah the Prophet Has Written of Old."
Thank you.
What I proclaim to you, I do so in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you may recall a show quite some time ago called Reasonable Doubts. And the story was about a female defense lawyer who's represented a man convicted of two brutal killings who was appearing before the parole board. He was seeking parole after serving just 14 years, and lo and behold, she succeeded in getting him released. Well, a police officer who was present at the original crime gives the lawyer a rough time after the hearing, telling her that she should not be representing such people, that the man she was representing was nothing than dirt. Later that day, the police officer discovers that the lawyer's mother had died from cancer the night before. And so the next time he sees the lawyer, he says, "I'm sorry. Had I known your mother had died, I would have gone easier on you." And another character in the story, the chief prosecutor, who was the main star, also gives the defense counsel a hard time for representing a killer before the parole board. And she, too, later hears about the mother's death. The next time that the prosecutor sees the defense counsel, she also says to her, "Sorry, had I known, I would have gone easier on you." You know, it makes me ask myself, and probably you should ask yourself, how often do we say, "had I known," and yet still do things that we shouldn't be doing? My friends, it happens all the time. In the normal course of everyday living, when we're moving too fast or feeling in need of help, we fail to recognize what's happening around us. We forget what we should be about. Sometimes we load up other people with our burdens and pains. We pour out all our complaints and troubles, only to discover later that the person is dealing with their own emotional burden, a burden far heavier than the one we're carrying. Sometimes we ask someone to do this or that thing without considering their workload. We just assume that the other person is or should be willing to help us, only to discover later on that they just put in a double shift at work, or that a relative of theirs has just been in an accident. Other times, you know, in good humor, we might tease someone about something, thinking that we know them well enough to have a bit of fun with them, only to discover that he or she is very sensitive about the very thing we thought was safe to tease them about. And we realize that we've blown it, that we've acted inappropriately, and we seek out the person concerned. And in almost every case, we say something like, "Had I known, I wouldn't have asked you that. Had I known, I wouldn't have said that. Had I known, I wouldn't have bothered you. Had I known." I mention this today because as we come to the end of the church year, we're asked to remember that when all is said and done, Jesus is our King. And I can't help but think that when it comes to obedience to our King, when it comes to our willingness to show him our respect and honor, many of us make the same mistake with him that we make with other people. We blunder. We go ahead with business as usual, being casual, abrupt,
and insensitive until all of a sudden we realize that something special is going on. What is this? This had I known excuse. You know, I'm sure it's a genuine kind of excuse. People are very sincere when they offer it. But does it really count for a lot in the long run? Shouldn't we be caring and loving and respectful all the time? Shouldn't we always pay attention before we say or do something to where the person is at, to who the person is, to what the situation is? Shouldn't we honor our Lord and King all the time? Not just on special occasions, not just on Sunday mornings. Think of the crucifixion of Christ for a moment. That passage we heard read from Luke just a few minutes ago. Just about everybody there, from the guards and the Pharisees to the thief, or one of the thieves, and the cross next to him, taunted Jesus saying, "If you're the Messiah, if you're the King, then save yourself and save us." It's pretty obvious from this gospel story that none of these people recognize Jesus for who he is. And this, it seemed to them, meant that they could abuse him, and just as they would any other convicted criminal. To them, nothing was going on special. Just business as usual. Business without thinking. Business without considering what God would want from them. Whether or not this man on the cross was a Messiah or simply a misguided fool. I believe that if those who had acted this way at the foot of the cross could come back and stand before Christ today, as we can stand before him, they would say to him, "Sorry, Jesus. Had I known, I would have gone easier on you. Had I known, I would have taken your part like the other thief took your part. I would have wept for you instead of jeering at you." My friends, what does it mean to claim that Jesus is our Messiah, our King, our Lord? Doesn't it mean that we're to act differently, to show him a respect, and to strive to honor him and obey him and serve him at all times? Especially if he's actually here with us. But what happens when we fail to recognize that our God and our King is actually here among us? What happens when the King is not sitting on his throne or announcing his presence among us with trumpets and waving flags? My friends, recall what the prophet Isaiah said about Christ, about our God and King. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire. So it was that he was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with grief. Oh, had I known. There's a story about a guru who was meditating in his mountain cave. And when he opened his eyes, he discovered an unexpected visitor sit before him, the abbot of a well-known monastery. "What is it you seek?" asked the guru. Well, the abbot recounted a tale of woe. At one time, his monastery had been famous throughout the Eastern world. Its cells were filled with young aspirants, and its church resounded to the chants of monks. But hard times had come on a monastery. People no longer flock there to nourish their spirits. The aspirants had dried up, and the church was almost silent. There were only a handful of monks left, and they went about their duties with heavy hearts. Now, this is what the abbot wanted to know. Is it because of some sin of ours that the monastery has gone down to that state? Yes, said the guru. A sin of ignorance. And what might that sin be? One of in your numbers is the Messiah in disguise, and you're ignorant of this, replied the guru. And having said that, he closed his eyes and returned to his meditation. Well, throughout the long journey back to the monastery, the abbot's heart was beat fast as he thought that the Messiah himself had returned to earth and was right there in his monastery. How is it that he failed to recognize him? And who could it be? Brother Cook? Brother Sarsistan? Brother Treasurer? Brother Prior? No, not he. He had too many defects. But, you know, the guru had told him that the Messiah was in disguise. So those defects might be a part of the disguise. Come to think of it, everybody in the monastery had some defects. And one of them had to be the Messiah. Well, back in the monastery, the abbot assembled all the monks and told them what he had discovered. And they looked at one another in disbelief. The Messiah, here. Unbelievable. But he was supposed to be here in disguise. So maybe. But what if it was so-and-so? Or the other one over there? Or. One thing was certain. If the Messiah was there in disguise, it wasn't likely that they would recognize him. So they took to treating everyone with respect and consideration. You never know, they said to themselves when they dealt with one another. Maybe, this is the one. The result of all of this was that the atmosphere of the monastery became vibrant with joy. Soon dozens of aspirants were seeking admission to the order. And once again, the church echoed with the holy and joyful chant of monks who were aglow with the spirit of love. My friends, Jesus, our Messiah, our King, is here somewhere in this church, somewhere in this community. He has no form of majesty about him that we should look at him, nothing about his appearance that we should desire him. But believe it, he's here. And we owe him because he is our King and Savior. We owe him our praise, our obedience, our special honor and care. Not just in our times of prayer when we address him on the throne, but in each minute of every day as we go about our normal business. Well, in closing, it's my sincere prayer that we'll all strive to use the excuse, had I only known, to use that excuse less, especially when we're dealing with our King. Because we do know, and we are called to show him our respect and our devotion each and every day. May it be so. Amen. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We have been greatly blessed by the Creator of the universe with gifts too numerous to count. Our King asks us to share with others that all of His creation may partake in His gifts of love. With this in mind and with grateful hearts, let us present our offering. Loving God, we know all these gifts come from You. We give You thanks for our material blessings and also for the gift of this community and the way we receive blessings from it. Use this offering and use us to increase Christ's reign in this world. Amen. Once again, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for ourselves at this time that we might remember who is in control in creation and who holds together all things, and that He might be the one who controls our life. Help us to let go of ourselves and our fears and worries, and to rest ourselves in Christ Jesus. Help us to grow in faith, to always rejoice in what You have done, to submit our wills and our plans to Your will and Your plan for our lives. Lord, we pray for others. We pray that those who have ego enthroned within their lives may meet Christ. We pray that those who are ruled by money, by status, by the desire to get ahead, by addictions, or by any other force other than Yours, may awaken and realize their poverty and reach out to You. We ask for those who are afraid that their life is in a downward spiral that cannot be arrested or reversed, that they may realize the authority and the power of Christ over all that afflicts them. We pray for those who have no hope, those whose days consist of a meaningless cycle of frantic work, desperate pleasure, and restless sleep. We praise you for that special joy that you've granted us without us even asking for it. We pray for those who dwell in places of strife, need, and want. And we pray for those who are mourning. We pray for brothers and sisters who are scattered throughout the world in places of conflict. In Ukraine, and in the Middle East, and in many other places that we know of. Lord God, be with them. Remind them that you are their King, and that in one day you will welcome them in your presence. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and our King. Amen. And now let us join our voices together in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us sing your closing hymn, hymn 269, Your Kingdom Come, O God. Before I pronounce the benediction, I would remind you all that there is quiet practice immediately following the service downstairs, preparing for Advent. And now go from this place as those who are awed by the divine godliness and whose gratitude spreads out into the world. And may Christ our Lord bless you with a heart of reverent and joyful obedience. May God the Father bless you with a mind that knows His truth and His glory. And may the Holy Spirit guide and lead you on the way with power and love and wisdom this day and evermore. Amen.